Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Memcast. This week it's going to be a solo episode from myself. We're going to be talking a little bit about knee aspiration. Now, in order to do that over a podcast, I'm going to be focusing more on the indications, contraindications, consent, giving some tips as to how the procedure itself is done, and then looking at sort of post-procedural care and interpreting the results thereafter. There are a lot of good YouTube videos that will go through exactly how the technique is performed, and I think that's probably better than me trying to explain that without any aid of diagrams or videos. We've also released some MCQs earlier in the week, so if you hop onto the Instagram, you can have a look at those. But without further ado, let's crack on with talking a little bit about knee aspiration. Now, when you aspirate the knee, it can be done for either diagnostic or for therapeutic purposes, sometimes often both. And there are a couple of reasons you may want to do a knee aspiration. First and probably the most common is if you have an unexplained knee monoarthritis, so a single hot swollen joint. You may be suspicious of a septic arthritis or a crystal induced arthritis, or even potentially a hemoarthrosis, and you may want to investigate exactly why that joint is swollen. As we mentioned a second ago, therapeutic indications: if you aspirate a tense knee effusion, intra-articular pressure will improve, and actually that will help improve the pain as well. Equally, although we're not really going to be covering this today, you can inject into the knee, which is obviously the same technique as aspirating. Most commonly, you would be injecting steroid, likely to treat for a inflammatory arthritis, crystal-induced arthritis, and sometimes for an inflammatory osteoarthritis. We're not going to talk too much about this in this podcast because I think most of us will be aspirating the knee in the context of a possible septic arthritis, in which case we absolutely don't want to be putting any steroids in there. Now, those are the reasons you may want to do the procedure, but there is really only one main contraindication why you wouldn't, and then there are a lot of relative contraindications you might want to think about. So the absolute contraindication is a joint prosthesis. If there is any joint prosthesis present in the knee, then you'll need to be speaking to the orthopedic team to aspirate the joint. There are a couple of relative contraindications as well. Thinking about local skin infection or cellulitis, realistically, one of the main reasons we would aspirate the knee is suspicion of infection. So try and find an area where the skin isn't cellulitic in order to aspirate the fluid. But if you're suspicious of an intra-articular infection, then you're going to have to go ahead and aspirate that joint. A therapeutic INR, so sort of a 2 to 3, isn't a absolute contraindication to doing any aspiration. Obviously, if somebody has an excessively high INR, it may be preferable to treat that first prior to aspirating. But again, if you're in a clinically urgent situation, you think someone's got a septic arthritis and they're very, very unwell with it, you may have to balance the risks and benefits in that case. An acute fracture is also a relative contraindication, depending on where that fracture is and how easy you think the joint will be to access. Also, the intended benefits of the procedure we've already talked about, to diagnose a potential pathology or to relieve tension within the joint. But there are complications that can occur with the procedure. Local complications such as pain, bruising from where the needle's going in. You can damage surrounding structures, tendons, nerves, and blood vessels. Sometimes the effusion may reaccumulate, and you may also introduce infection into the joint itself. The reason I mention this is because when we are consenting the patient, we obviously have to explain to them exactly what we're doing, the intended benefits, but we do have to cover these complications with them as well. The important thing to mention is that when you are aspirating from the knee, you are a long way from major blood vessels. You're unlikely to cause any significant bleeding, and the joint capsule itself is self-contained, so that the bleeding that can occur will be limited. We obviously use a no-touch technique, so we're limiting the risk of infection as well. And it's one small needle in this case, so the pain and from the procedure will be limited. So we've talked about the indications, we've talked about the contraindications and the potential complications. You're going to want to discuss all of those things with the patient. Also check they don't have any allergies. And assuming they are happy for you to proceed, then we can go on to performing the procedure. So we'll need to get our kit together to do that. We'll need to make sure we've got something to clean the surface of the skin with, a claw prep, gloves, some sterile gauze. You can use lidocaine to anaesthetize the skin subcutaneously. That is probably more beneficial if you anticipate a difficult aspiration, because the discomfort of the needle and the local anaesthetic itself is likely equal to or exceeding the discomfort from just doing the aspiration on its own. Especially if the joint is very swollen, it can often be quite straightforward to get the fluid out. And with the lidocaine being administered, you're really just adding another injection and more discomfort to the patient rather than saving them any. If you are giving lidocaine, you'll want a small syringe for that, but you'll want a large syringe, sort of 20 to 50 mils, for the aspiration of the knee joint. You'll want an 18 gauge needle to aspirate. You can consider a wider bore though if there's a lot of pus in the joint. You'll want collection tubes to send your sample to the lab. Different hospitals may require these collected in different samples, whether that is a universal container or blood culture bottles. For our trust, they're happy to just receive a universal container and do all the testing on that. So once you've got all your equipment together, then you can move on to positioning the patient, identifying your landmarks prior to performing the procedure. So you'll want your patient lying supine with their leg very slightly flexed, maybe just with a pillow underneath to make it easier to access the joint itself. Now, there are six potential approaches to aspirating the knee. You can aspirate suprapatella, mid-patella or infrapatella, either medial or laterally. The most common approaches would be the mid or suprapatella. Infrapatella approach is mainly used for therapeutic injection. Now, when you are looking at your landmarks in order to aspirate, you want to identify the superior and inferior poles of the patella, divide the patella into thirds horizontally, and then looking at where that top line is across the knee, take that to the lateral aspect of the knee. I would advise you can use medial or lateral, but the skin on the medial side of the knee is more sensitive, so aspirating from the lateral side will be more comfortable for the patient. And once you've taken that line to the lateral aspect of the knee, you can feel the groove underneath the edge of the patella itself. While you're palpating, you can, with your hand, push from the medial side of the patella, and that helps to lift the patella on the lateral side and make the groove beneath it a little bit more obvious, a little bit easier to feel. And then you can mark that area with a pen, a needle cap, anything to just keep an area on that skin so you can see where your entry site is going to be for the mid-patella approach. And at that point, we can then clean the site, remembering that after the site has been cleaned, we cannot be repalpating that. However, your hand on the medial aspect of the knee, which is sort of pushing the patella laterally, can remain to apply pressure to keep that space open as long as it doesn't touch the area you've cleaned, the area you plan to insert the needle. And once you have the area cleaned, you can then administer the local anaesthetic. Following this, you can then attach your 18 gauge needle to your 20 to 50 mil syringe. Insert it perpendicularly to the skin initially before then advancing the needle superiorly, aiming for the superior pole of the patella, making sure not to hit the base of the patella, remembering that that bone is a pyramid shape. And therefore, if you continued medially in the same direction, eventually you would come into contact with the bone. So initially perpendicularly to the skin, then adjust your needle to point superiorly, aiming for that suprapatellar pouch, applying constant gentle negative pressure on your syringe so that when you enter the joint capsule, you'll see flashback in the syringe and you'll know you're in the right place. At that point, aspirate the joint to dryness, but make sure you aspirate it gently. If you increase the negative pressure within the capsule too quickly, you're likely to bring both sides of the capsule together. You may then struggle to aspirate joint fluid distal to where the two sides of the capsule have come together, and also that will be quite uncomfortable for the patient. So make sure you're aspirating slowly. Make sure you collect your fluid, remove the needle after you're finished, and then you can use gauze to apply pressure and apply a dressing afterwards. So that's the mid-patellar approach, where you're sort of aiming slightly superiorly to hit that suprapatellar pouch. Now, you can use a suprapatellar approach, and this approach may be used if somebody has a very swollen joint, particularly in cases where you may be suspecting septic arthritis. It's often very clear and simple, straightforward to see the effusion. For the suprapatellar approach, I would identify the lateral and superior borders of the patella and draw a horizontal and vertical line from each and look at those where those lines intersect. So you have a sort of corner of the patella, and then move laterally or medially, depending on whether you're on the lateral or medial side, about 1 centimeter, superiorly 1 centimeter, and that will be the entry point for your needle, and you're then aiming for the suprapatellar pouch. You may not need to insert your needle very far at all. If you're applying that gentle negative pressure as your needle goes in, you will probably find you obtain joint fluid very quickly, especially if the joint is particularly swollen. And for post-procedural care, make sure the patient takes it easy for the next 24 to 48 hours. They don't have to be completely immobile, but certainly try to rest the knee as much as possible. And also safety net that if the knee becomes red, swollen, painful within 48 hours of the procedures, then they need to attend the emergency department immediately. Though often in most cases when you're doing this procedure, the patient will be in hospital for septic arthritis or for suspicion of septic arthritis anyway, so they likely won't be going anywhere. After we've performed the procedure and given that advice to the patient, we then obviously need to be able to interpret the results, and we do that with the fluid analysis. Now, often you may get an idea of exactly what's going on as you're aspirating, as the joint fluid normally should be sort of translucent and colourless. However, if you start getting very yellow, green, cloudy or pus-like aspirate, you're already going to be very suspicious that it is a septic arthritis. For these patients, when we get the cell count back from the fluid, we would expect to see a very high WBC count, sort of 2,000 to 50,000 cells per millimeter cubed, potentially even higher than that, with a very high proportion of neutrophils. You would expect a positive Gram stain in these cases as well. Crystal arthritis can look yellow and cloudy, but you wouldn't look so pus-like. You would have high neutrophils as well, but you'd have a negative Gram stain and a positive crystal microscopy. Obviously, if there is any hemoarthrosis, that will be very clear when you aspirate, as you will get red, dark, frank blood in the syringe, and your diagnosis is made at that point. The most common causes for septic arthritis, normally Staph aureus, though streptococci, Neisseria, gonorrhea, and E. coli can also cause a septic arthritis as well. So that's the main points to cover for a knee aspiration. Again, I would listen to this, make sure to look at a video, and then try and get some practice in as well, either by attending joint aspiration clinics, rheumatology hot clinics, trying to shadow the orthopedic team when they're aspirating hot joints, just to get your eye in and get some practical experience going forward. Thanks again for listening to Memcast this week and for putting up with just my voice for the whole episode. Once again, make sure to keep your eye on the Instagram for next week's questions and next week's episode. And I will try and get this Discord up and running as quick as we can so we can have some discussion, some feedback on episodes, and maybe some suggestions for future episodes as well. So thank you very much, guys, and make sure you tune in next week. Cheers.